Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. And we pray this evening for your work in our hearts, that we would see that light and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Well, it's great to see you here this evening, because for many people, Christmas has become a very unreligious thing, a very secular event. People send cards with polar bears on them, and they say season's greetings, as if something else was happening other than Christmas. It's time for office parties, school plays, shopping, presents, lots of food and drink. For many people, it just goes no further. But you, at least, are aware of something more. There's something that's brought you here tonight. There's an air of expectancy around, a sense of excitement in the air. You're doing something unusual, and it brings with it echoes of past years, maybe, to your mind, perhaps of childhood. Maybe as you walk through the cold night to the church, or as you huddle together in the pews with the candlelit light around, as you sing of another midnight many years ago. I wonder what it is that's brought you here tonight in particular. It's an odd service you come to in a way. We're celebrating the birth of a baby, but we're going to take communion later on. And as we do that, we're remembering that baby's death on the cross years later. It's an odd service. So something special must have brought you. Perhaps you don't come to church very often. For some of you, this might be your only visit this year. There must be something special that's brought you. What is it about the birth of that baby over 2,000 years ago that makes us keep on telling the story and keep on coming back year after year? Well, let's have a look at this passage. And it's going to help us to see just who the baby is. So first of all, this baby, the Lord Jesus, is the Creator. The baby is the Creator. It's an extraordinary claim. Lots of people say there is no Creator. But here we are saying, yes, there is. And if you'd have been there, you'd have seen that baby and you'd have seen the Creator all wrapped up in swaddling bands and lying in a manger. So look at verse 2 in our reading. In these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Through whom he made the universe. He goes on. The Son, S-O-N, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So the one in the manger is the Son of God, and he's the one through whom God made the universe. And not only he made it, but also he keeps it going today. He is sustaining all things by his powerful word. So God exists, and Jesus, once a baby, is the Son of God who made the world and who keeps it all going. Perhaps you're interested in science. This is saying that it's God who invented science. And all those rules that we don't quite understand, it's Jesus who made the scientific universe. Perhaps you love nature. It's God who's in control of nature. He keeps the natural world going and us with it. And Jesus is there doing it. So what's special about Christmas? This is no ordinary baby that we're talking about. He's God. He's the one who made the world and who keeps it going. Jesus is someone to worship and to live for in our lives. The baby is the Creator. Well, if that's the case, then we're in trouble, aren't we? Because we've acted as if God, Jesus, wasn't the Creator and didn't exist. You've probably heard of TripAdvisor? Maybe not. Well, TripAdvisor is a website and an app that gives you reviews on hotels, restaurants and that sort of thing. So I looked up the George Harvester next door. It gets 4 stars. That's ranked number 2 out of 33 restaurants in Morden. And reviews vary. 5 stars, Fantastic visit to the Harvester, our favourite local. Brilliant service with a smile as always. Great. 1 star. Normally very good, but disappointed today. Fruit flies all over the food. Mould growing all over the windows next to the table. 25-minute wait to get the dessert menu and then asked to leave as they needed the table as we finished the last mouthful. To be honest, I had to search for that one. Lots of better reviews than that. But who do you believe? And who wrote the reviews? It's no surprise that TripAdvisor is controversial. But what would God's entry on TripAdvisor be? Judging by how people treat God, we'd give him a 1 star, wouldn't we? A 1 star review. People don't want God in their lives. They ignore him most of the time, complain about his customer service, blame him for anything and everything, make up things about him, worship fake gods, inventions of their own minds. God, Jesus, only 1 star. People reject God. It's kind of our natural instinct, unfortunately. You've done it, I've done it. So it's no surprise that as well as a sense of excitement and wonder tonight, in our hearts, there's pain as well. When we reject Jesus, when we shape our lives our way and not his, we suffer the consequences. Broken relationships, family problems, greed and debt, all sorts of addictions, drugs, alcohol, lust, shopping. That baby is the creator and we're in trouble. So why are we celebrating if that's all it's about? Well, if that was all there was to it, we wouldn't be celebrating Jesus' birth. We should be worried out of our minds. But there's something more. Something that brings us here this evening. Something that brought lots of people to see the baby when he was born. Well, let's look again at the reading. End of verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. There is something more. That baby is the creator, but that baby is also the rescuer. The rescuer. He's God, the one who creates and keeps things going, but he's also God, the one who saves and rescues. We're in trouble with God, but the Lord Jesus can sort that out and help us. And that's because he provides what this passage calls purification for sins. It's there in verse 3. He can get us out of our trouble by cleaning us up before God. Now it's rumoured that every year Cadbury make a special bar of chocolate for the Queen at Christmas. Well, imagine that you get the job of delivering that bar of chocolate this year. And you turn up at Balmoral, and it's been quite a difficult journey. It's been windy and wet and muddy. And by the time you get there, you're filthy dirty. And you knock on the door, and the butler opens and looks at you, looks you up and down, says, "No way you're coming in here to see the Queen dressed like that." You're stuck. Filthy dirty. You can't go and see the Queen and deliver your special bar of chocolate. It's all right. Someone beside the butler takes pity on you and says, "Look, it's okay. You've got mine. I'm about the same size as you. I've got lovely clean clothes. Come here, we'll swap." So off you go into the bathrooms, change clothes, and you can go on with this lovely clean set of clothes that they've given you, a complete swap, and go in and see the Queen and give her chocolate. You've been cleaned up. You've been rescued. What a silly picture, but Jesus has done something like that for us, much bigger. Our lives are like scruffy, dirty lives before the Lord God, before his majesty. And Jesus can give us that swap of his perfect clothes for our dirty clothes, as it were. And so that's why Jesus ended up about 30-something years later, dying on a cross, being executed willingly, because there he paid the price. There he paid the price so he could take away our dirty clothes, effectively putting them on himself, and give us his perfect clothes, as it were. And that's how Jesus achieved purification for sins, here in verse 3. We need rescuing, and the Lord Jesus, that baby, can be our rescuer. Well, this is great news, isn't it? There is something really special going on, something that we're celebrating tonight. The baby is the rescuer. You might have wondered, why take communion on Christmas night? Well, Jesus told his followers to meet, to take bread and wine together, so that they could remember and proclaim that death on the cross, his death on the cross. The bread broken is a picture of his body dying on the cross, killed. The wine is a picture of his blood poured out, as it were, for us as a sacrifice. It's a picture, the bread and the wine, of how Jesus rescues people. So it makes sense to have communion tonight as we celebrate that baby being our rescuer. It makes sense, that is, if you think he died for you. Because Jesus doesn't force his rescue on anyone. Now, Jesus offers his rescue and calls on us to receive it by making a commitment to him with our lives. So who are you going to let be number one in your life? This year's Christmas number one's been a surprise. I love sausage rolls by Lad Baby. Who? The number one album is a bit more predictable. Rod Stewart, You're In My Heart, and Stormzy and Harry Styles are close behind. But who's going to be number one in your life? It's much more important, isn't it? Will you let the Lord Jesus be number one in your life? Jesus effectively asks us, will we turn around from putting ourselves first as number one and put him there instead? And that's what a commitment to Jesus means. Him first, not you first, or anyone else. And after all, why not? He's the creator. He's the rescuer. What greater person to live for? Well, perhaps you are committed to Jesus like this. Then this strange thing that we're doing tonight, remembering his gruesome death 2,000 years ago, after he was born as a baby, well, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And tonight gives us the chance to commit ourselves to him once again, as our Lord and Saviour. We still need his forgiveness, don't we? And it's still there, because he's died in our place. Perhaps you're not yet committed to Jesus like this. Well, why don't you use your time here tonight to think about that, to think it over again, and why not put yourself in his hands, the one through whom the universe was made, the one who provided purification for sins. Why not receive that offer of forgiveness and new life from him that Jesus alone offers? If you're not committed to Jesus, then don't take communion. It would make no sense, would it? Unless you want it to mean something for the first time. Use the bread and the wine as a prayer. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've lived without you. Thank you for dying for me and being alive again. Please forgive me and let me be yours forever. So there is something very special here tonight, something that's worth celebrating with great joy. It's not that you're going to be able to open your presents very soon, which you are. It's not there's more food and drink and partying on the way, which there probably is. It's this, that just over 2,000 years ago, God did something incredible, vitally important for our lives today. Jesus was born, and not just any baby. So will you receive that baby, this Jesus, as your creator? Will you receive that baby, this Jesus, as the rescuer you need? Let's pray. And let's just take a moment in quiet, just to bring our response, our thoughts, to the Lord in our hearts. Amen.